types of carriers. After selecting the most effective mode, or modes, of transportation, the logistics manager must decide on the appropriate type of carrier: common, public, private, contract, or exempt. This decision is influenced by consideration of each carrier's legal type, that is, the operating authority granted the carrier by the relevant government regulatory body. For example, in the U.S., the authority to operate under a given legal type is regulated by federal statute and the U.S. Surface Transportation Board, STB. In the EU, it is regulated by the European Commission's Directorate General for Mobility and Transport. The four types of carriers discussed below are generic in nature, and each provides a set of advantages and trade-offs. While much of the discussion uses U.S. examples, these general types are relevant in many other countries. Common, public, carriers. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines a common carrier as transportation available to the public that does not provide special treatment to any one party and is regulated in regard to the rates charged, the liability assumed, and the service provided. In the United States, a common carrier must obtain a certificate of public convenience and necessity from the U.S. Federal Trade Commission for Interstate Traffic, ANT. Private carrier. C. For hire carrier. The opposite of a common carrier is a private carrier. Public carrier, or simply carrier, is a term used in continental Europe and elsewhere, and is the functional equivalent of a common carrier. However, to confuse the issue, in UK English, a public carrier refers to a contract carrier, defined later, not a common carrier. The remainder of this discussion uses the term common carrier. Common carriers perform the bulk of shipping in the United States, form the basis of public, commercial transportation, and are used extensively in most logistics systems. Common carriers operate in the public interest, granted the authority to enter the market by a country's federal government. They are also subject to the greatest amount of regulation governing rates and the scope of their service. Government licensing and regulatory restrictions are designed to guarantee that the economy will not suffer from a lack of commercial transportation at reasonable rates. While such regulation ensures logistics managers that carriers will be available for their products and within their geographic markets, it also means that managers must understand the relevant regulations and take their effects into account when selecting modes of transport and types of carriers. To enter the common carrier business in the United States, for example, a company must demonstrate that it is able and willing to provide service. The USSTB governs entry into the common carrier market for rail, motor, and marine transport. The U.S. Department of Transportation, DOT, regulates entry into air transport. Regulation of common carriers governs public service, liability, discrimination, and rates. Public service. Common carriers may be licensed to carry all types of goods or only certain types, household goods, computers, etc., depending upon their capabilities. Within the scope of its license, the common carrier must transport whatever goods are offered to it and deliver the goods to any point within its designated territory. Assumption of liability. Common carriers assume the risks inherent in transport, a definite benefit for the shipping company. The carrier is responsible for any damage, loss, or delays that occur while the goods are in its custody, with certain exceptions, such as inherent product defects and acts of God, public enemies, criminals, terrorists, etc., or the shipper itself. No discrimination. Common carriers are required to take all legitimate business within the scope of their licenses, even at a loss. They may not discriminate among shippers, products, or places by charging different rates or providing different levels of service. There is some flexibility for varying rates in line with differences in the costs of doing business. Common carriers in the trucking sector generally specialize in either full truckload or less than truckload carriage. Reasonable rates. Common carriers must publish their rates, and the rates must not be too high, thus limiting shippers, or too low, thus endangering the carriers. Private carriers. A private carrier is a company that owns or leases a fleet of vehicles to transport its own products. A private carrier that purchases a fleet of vehicles incurs the cost of ownership, such as maintenance, insurance, depreciation, and financing. The vehicles also count as assets on the balance sheet, which worsens certain financial ratios. Ownership requires decisions about when to buy and sell the vehicles. Leasing eliminates some of the concern with depreciation, financing, and term of possession. Ownership and leasing are otherwise similar. In both cases, the vehicles are in the possession of the company and are its responsibility. To qualify as a private carrier, a company must own or lease vehicles for its use, manage their operation, and not be primarily in the transportation business. While private carriers are free from economic regulations that apply to other legal types of carriers, they must follow regulations that apply to hazardous materials, safety, and other matters regulated by the government. Owning or leasing a fleet has advantages and disadvantages. On the positive side, the company has control of the vehicles for its own use. On the negative side, the size of the fleet is relatively inflexible. If business turns down, the company either has to maintain unused vehicles or divest itself of some vehicles through sale or a lease buyout. Neither tactic is likely to be profitable. Before deregulation in 1980 in the US, private carriers were forbidden to carry the goods of other companies. Since deregulation, they have been able to do so. And some private carriers are licensed in more than one legal class, a significant benefit if the vehicles can fill up with another company's products when they would otherwise be making empty backhaul trips. At first, the benefits of deregulation resulted in an increase in the number of private carriers. Eventually, however, that trend reversed as more companies sold off their private fleets and outsourced logistics functions in order to focus on their core businesses. Contract carriers. Unlike common carriers, contract carriers are not required to make their services available to the general shipping public, though they do require government authorization to do business and are governed by economic regulations. They enter into contracts with terms specific to the customer and then receive a permit to carry out the business defined by the contract. Contracts specify rates, type of service, number and frequency of trips, etc., and liability. Although U.S. contract carriers were once subject to strict regulatory limits on the number and terms of their contracts, since the Motor Carrier Act of 1980, they are more free to compete with other types of carriers. For example, before 1980, contract carriers were limited by law to have no more than 8 active contracts. Now they may serve any number of current customers. Contract carriers offer several advantages to logistics managers. Their rates are generally lower than those of common carriers, and because they aren't required to serve the general shipping public, they can adapt their business to a customer's specific needs by, for example, scheduling special deliveries or using specialized equipment. They rival private carriage in that regard while providing added flexibility. The independent trucker is a special type of contract carrier who owns a tractor and perhaps a trailer and makes arrangements to subcontract with other types of carriers, including common, private, contract, and exempt carriers. Exempt carriers. Exempt carriers are not subject to economic regulation of their rates and terms of service. They are, however, responsible for compliance with licensing and safety laws, which are state-based in the U.S. In the U.S., they must publish their rates if they operate across state lines. Most exempt carriers operate locally. The market determines their rates, services, and availability. Exemptions are granted for specific commodities and for certain areas of operation, such as the zones around airports. Typical exempt commodities include raw materials and unprocessed agricultural products. Logistics managers rely on exempt carriers for a significant amount of business in their niches, such as local transport of agricultural products. The primary benefit offered by exempt carriers is lower rates. Their primary drawback is limited availability for many products and a limited range of operation.